Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman by heading over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Halbkasten mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
Nice. All right. How's everybody doing? How's everybody doing today?
Oh, man, you know, just riding out the teen, with some kids playing with an RC car directly outside my office window for 3.5 hours this morning.
That sounded fantastic.
Yeah, but then they crashed into the curb and the car exploded and I laughed my ass off.
And you're like, oh, I guess I can make things happen with my mind.
That's perfect.
Is this it? Is this the podcast?
That's
Are we doing the podcast?
Yeah, that's it. Done.
Yep.
All right.
End of show.
I was just recording an episode of Even Warm News, and I kind of put out this like general PSA, as if everybody's wondering why their favorite podcasts seem weird. It's because everybody is like recording online. And,
oh, we know. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because we're all insane right now. Trapped inside.
We've all lost it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
I guess I'll take this opportunity to say welcome to another episode of Hypecast!
Hypecast!
The show where we get hyped about stuff and things, even in this time when stuff and things are scarce. I'm your co-host, Tom Reimann.
I am the other host, David Bell. Who do we got? Who do we got here?
It is your host with the most jokes and japes for to go with your ham eggs. It's Drive Time Clive at 5. How you doing, boys?
Hi, Christian.
How do we hang up on Christian?
You don't want to do the whole show with the morning radio host?
All right.
I want to do that, but I don't. I do not have the mental energy to do that right now.
Christian, thank you for being on.
Yes, absolutely.
I feel like we kind of jumped into recording after connecting on via the internet.
Yeah.
So I feel like I haven't said like how you doing? How you doing? How you been?
You know, it's Rona time. Corona.
Yep.
Is in all of our lives, or it's at least affecting all of our lives. So it is what it is. Yeah. But you know, getting through.
Right. But you at least you can be hyped about movies that won't be in theaters for a very long time.
Yeah, mostly shows to get hyped about this week.
Yes, that is very true.
For real and for true.
Yeah, there's still things to watch. There's still stuff to watch.
Oh, yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah, there will be stuff to watch until the heat death of the universe. Like,
that's true.
We will never
be able
to watch it all.
The last thing to watch. Yeah, the last thing to watch will be the sun exploding.
Yeah. Yep.
And we'll be like, yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, it felt forced.
Yeah.
The explosion.
It felt like
It
felt like the sun blew up just for clicks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give it 2.5 stars.
Yeah, a real edgelord sun that we've got here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fucking edgelord.
Yep. I guess before we get started, we got some producer nods. Christian, I don't know if you're aware, but we do some shout outs to our Hypecast producers every week.
Yeah.
And these are people who have subscribed to our Patreon, who were nice enough to support us and this show. Starting with a new person this week, Mr. DNA.
Mr. DNA, ooh, where did you come
DNA?
From?
DNA.
Mr. DNA.
From your blood.
From your blood.
It's, that's fantastic. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. DNA. Also, thank you to Lauren Gucci.
Gucci.
Gucci. Pronounced Gucci.
Okay.
I wrote it in the notes.
Oh, okay.
I wrote it right in the notes.
Yeah.
Pronounced like Gucci.
Okay.
According to Lauren.
Fine.
Thank you. thank you so much, Lauren.
Yeah.
Come on, Tom, get it right.
All
right.
Then we got Bootler Bootlesson. Thanks to Bootler Bootlesson.
Thank you, Bootler.
Thanks to Grumblebee. Thank you to Tux. Thank you to Welzowski.
I can do a Christian, couple if you want.
You want to take the last two, Christian?
Thank you to Shepherd Mulch Diggums. And
Dig up!
Thank you very much to Norm from Cheers.
Ah, thank man. You, Norm. I'm glad to know he's still alive. He was drinking pretty heavily in the 80s.
Yeah, that's true. So,
yeah.
He's cleaned up his act.
Yeah.
Once they closed Cheers. Is the bar called Cheers?
The bar is called Cheers. Yes.
Yeah. That's a bad bar name.
It's the best bar name. Are you kidding?
It's too on the money. I don't know, man. This is okay. Never mind.
Yeah.
Never mind, everyone. This is not a popular opinion. I can tell it. I can tell it now. Oh, man. I'm going to drag us off those rails, Tom.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm keeping this thing on. Let's talk about the first trailer.
Yes, and I have a lot of questions about this because I actually have a story to tell, and I just want to start with it, if that's okay.
That's fine.
And, Tom, you work in entertainment news, so maybe you know what the deal is. I saw this is the trailer for Greenland. Mm-hmm. The link I put is a, like, third-party shitty copy because before I saw the movie Bloodshot, this trailer played in the theater.
Yeah.
And I thought, I normally see trailers before that I see them in theaters. This came out of nowhere. So I went home and I looked it up on the internet and the trailer was nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
I thought I had lost my mind.
No, I can tell you the international trailer to this movie was released online this week.
Okay, but here's the thing now is that all the links are broken. Yeah. The first showing.net link says this trailer has been pulled on behalf of the studio.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so that's where it gets weirder is because like I saw it in a theater and usually when it goes out in a theater, it goes on the internet and it wasn't there. And then I saw that it was coming out and I was like, oh, good. I'll put it on Hypecast and we can talk about it. And it's been pulled. So what is happening?
I don't know for sure, but I can give you very, very good guesses.
Yes.
One, the release date has almost certainly been pulled. Or pushed because it was supposed to release in June, and that's definitely not going to happen. Certainly not for this movie. Is very expensive. It looks like
it does look very. I mean, Gerard Butler. He doesn't come cheap.
No,
you know?
No. He's producing through his production company G Bass, which made me laugh for several minutes. G Bass. That's what he screams when he throws his dogs into the swimming pool. primarily I'm positive it's because they're pushing the release date.
And I'm guessing they're nervous about the content of the trailer.
That was the second thing. They might be nervous about the content because it's about a meteor. Well, it's about a meteor that's passing by Earth and people aren't taking it very seriously. They're sort of treating it like a novelty. And then they're all watching fragments start to come off the meteor or the comet rather. I'm sorry. It's a comet. Meteor is when it hits the Earth. And then fragments start to come off the comet and they're all just kind of watching it on television. Like it's like they've gathered together. Like it's a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
And then the comet fragment hits Central Florida and like blows it the fuck up.
Yeah.
So it's all of a sudden, oh shit, this is something we should have been taking seriously. And like the world starts to end and it's about Gerard Butler trying to get his family into this rumored military bunker in Greenland, which is the name of the movie, Greenland. So that's
a lot of panicked masses.
Yeah. A lot of panicked masses, a lot of people not taking it seriously. So it might be
a lot
that
of people in Florida not taking it seriously.
Right. So it may, I mean, they're sitting there watching it like it's like a shuttle taking off from Cape Canaveral. So it's like, all right. I'm certain it's because of those two things. The content of it is maybe a little too, people don't want to watch that right now. And also this movie probably cost, I don't know, $150 million. Like
the
most surprising thing about this trailer is that it looks kind of good.
Yeah. I was about to say everything you say makes sense. That people might not want to watch it right now. Mm-hmm. It's the only thing I want to watch right now.
Kind of, yeah. Like, that was, I we were trying to cover this trailer because the international trailer was released this week, and then we were okay, well then the US release is probably not far off, but then like you said, everything got pulled offline. So yeah, like that was the thing that struck me the most about this trailer is that it doesn't look like horseshit. Like I was expecting another Geostorm, but like the effects look good and it's like an interesting take on it.
Yeah.
Like the scene where they're watching it on TV and the fragment is supposed to land off the coast of Florida and then it touches down and there's like no sound and no explosion. Like what's going on? And then like they hear a bunch of, like a whole flock of birds flying the fuck by overhead, and Gerard Butler steps outside in time to see the shockwave coming towards them. So it's just the fragment hit the ground so fast that the sound hasn't reached them yet.
Yeah. And it went somewhere differently than
It didn't land where they thought it was going to land, so that there was no, they didn't show up on the television.
It's the director of Angel Has Fallen, which doesn't mean it's, I haven't seen Angel Has Fallen. He didn't do the other ones.
Oh, he didn't?
No.
No. And yeah, he did a movie called In the Shadows with Matthew Modine and James Caan and Joey Lord Adams that I guess I'm going to have to see.
Now I have to watch this. I know he's a former stunt performer, so they're making a big deal out of it. It's like it's from the producers of John Wick, and like like John Wick, it's a stunt performer directing the movie.
In the Shadows is about a hitman who is sent to kill a veteran Hollywood stuntman and falls in love with his daughter.
Okay.
And decides to become a stuntman himself. Sorry, I was reading the log line and it just kept unfolding like an amazing flower with every new part of that sentence.
That's a real puzzle box you just unleashed on us.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, at least we can hope that maybe the stunts are probably good. And I think everybody at the podcast loves good stunts in movies.
Yeah. The action sequences that they show in the trailer look good. Like this movie looks good.
Yeah, I agree. I think this movie looks good.
But Lord knows when we'll actually see it.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's getting pushed. They just pushed Top Gun to December.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's real tough because I get pushing Top Gun. And I get pushing this because it's a big spectacle.
Yeah.
But honestly, this feels like a solid streaming watch to me.
This feels like
a Netflix original.
Like I said, they clearly spent a lot of money on this.
I know.
And you take such a hit when you do
that. I get it. No, I know. It's that they deserve a theatrical release. They deserve, you know, again, Top Gun, it's like, I get it. IMAX, everything. This, it's like, I don't need to see this in theaters. I just need to see it right now. I just want this for me. And for America. And I think it would make us feel better.
Maybe.
Even though it is about a subject that you would think wouldn't. I don't know. We need like crap like this, right? Like this looks good.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know.
And
it's
pointing a pretty steady finger at what we're experiencing right now. Like maybe you should take these things seriously.
Right. I doubt it meant to.
Oh, hell no. No. I mean, I'm sure it was intentional within the narrative of the movie, but there's no way they intended it to be topical.
Yes. And that's probably why, like, there's nothing worse, I think, for a movie right now to be accidentally topical.
Yeah.
Because that means you're topical, but you haven't necessarily made the effort to say something correctly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you weren't thinking about it when you made it, so...
Right.
Who knows what weird fucking message this would accidentally put out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's maybe why they've moved the trailer. I don't know. I just want it. I just want it now.
I mean, it does make sense.
Put it
to
in
move
my
it.
Veins.
Yeah. Any more thoughts on this?
Nope.
No. Yeah. I mean, hopefully we get to see it sometime. Like that's not in the too far flung future, but.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll skip to this news story real quick. There's a story down about a Texas cinema who's turned their parking lot into a drive-in.
Mm-hmm.
And we should do that.
Yeah,
that's
that
a really
a
good
sense.
Idea. Actually,
that's an extremely... Cars are basically make us bubble boys or girls. It makes us John Travolta in that movie that I didn't see.
Yeah, as long as you could do that and just don't sell concessions, which I know like that's a big hit for theaters to take, but at least you're selling tickets and getting some revenue because the virus is not airborne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and don't encourage people to get their friends and cram yourselves in the car. It's just like one person to a car or one household to a car.
Right, one household to a car. Yeah.
And fuck, let's watch Greenland together, everyone, in our cars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like a good time.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the next trailer. This is a long-awaited Train to Busan presents Peninsula.
Peninsula, yep.
I'm guessing the presents means it has nothing to do with the first movie.
Correct. It's in the universe, though.
Yeah. I'm down with 20 Train to Busan presents.
I still have not seen Train to Busan, but this trailer is like, fuck, I gotta watch Train to Busan.
Yeah.
Christian, have you seen Train to Busan? Either. Am I the only motherfucker here who's seen Train to Busan? It's great.
I'm so burned out on zombie movies. Like, even when I heard Train to Busan was real good, I was like, it just wasn't very high on my priority list of things to watch. But, like, watching this trailer's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
So I was like, I fucking gotta watch Train to Busan.
That said, Train to Busan has two elements to it that I find it stands out from zombies. One is the less original thing, which is it's Snowpiercer, but zombies. It's how do we get... Basically, they keep having to move through cars, and so they keep having to barricade cars and deal with how to not get the zombies into the train car they're in.
Right.
And of course, obviously, they keep losing people along the way. It's a really cool idea. But the thing that stood out to me more that I don't think this other movie is going to do is that it pointed out more than most zombie movies that a zombie apocalypse, more than being scary, would just be sad.
Yeah.
Because it's like having a funeral where your loved one is trying to kill you. And, like, instead of a casket with, like, a body, it's up. And it's trying to kill you. And you're still mourning their death. I remember
That's very prevalent in zombie movies, though.
It is, but it never felt... I guess this movie felt... I don't know. I felt it harder in this movie.
But, what about in Shaun of the Dead with Sean's mom?
Oh, that was great. Yeah. I'm not saying it doesn't ever happen, I guess. But it doesn't happen as much in zombie movies, you know?
Yeah,
it's always
true.
Like one scene where they cry.
Mekhi Phifer's zombie baby in the Dawn of the Dead remake.
Right. It always happens, but then you sort of move on from it.
Yeah.
I remember in Train to Busan, like, the characters are sad. They never stop being sad.
Yeah.
And it sounds depressing, but it's, like, mixed with awesome zombie shit. I don't know. Yeah, you guys should watch that.
Yeah, there's some awesome zombie shit in this trailer. So I'm very... Even though it's sort of, like... It's like a Resident Evil type world where it's, like, the world's overrun. And it's, like, this looks like the movie that World War Z was trying to be.
Yeah.
It just looks so fucking good. And there's some really cool shit. Like, there's like a zombie arena and they open it up and it's like a cluster of zombies like walking as one, but they're all like just clumped together and crawling and like, man, there's some wild shit in this.
It's definitely a very like unique idea to have them all clumped together like that. And just, I don't know. Everything about it seems unique, which is weird to say for a zombie movie.
Hard to do. It's hard to do in a zombie movie, yeah.
It's always appreciated when someone's like... Because I think it's... I don't know. It's like doing a backflip where you meet a lot of people who claim they can do it, but that doesn't mean they can. Making a zombie movie is the same way, where it's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to make a zombie movie that'll blow people away. And it's like, are you, though?
Well, and then you pull up
zombies are going to be strippers, and it's like, so what?
Yeah, like, I'm going to make a zombie movie that's going to like blow the world away. Like, all right, so you pull up your lawn chair and your beer to watch this guy crack his skull open on the pavement,
exactly.
And then he does like an incredible like twirling fucking backflip, and you're like, oh my god,
yeah, and you're like, oh my god, they did it, they actually did it. So it's like it's still possible. The market's so oversaturated for zombie movies.
Zombie everything, for sure.
Yeah. Have you guys seen The Dead Don't Die?
I have not seen that one yet. The Adam Driver one?
Yeah, that one is another one where I was like, the fact that it's Jim Jarmusch doing it is like the only reason I was like, okay, this is something special. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, it's a zombie movie comedy with Bill Murray, and I'm like, you did that already. But this one, he's really in it, and it's kind of amazing because it's like a small town zombie movie, and the characters are so detached the whole time.
Yeah,
like
they're all
impressed.
Jim Jarmusch characters.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so funny because they're just so detached from the zombie apocalypse. It's a ridiculous film. It's not for everybody, but that's one to check out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And Train to Busan. I can't believe you guys need to get around to that one.
I will try. It sounds like a good idea, though. Like, I've heard nothing but good things about Train to Busan.
Yeah, it's great. Speaking of the word great, you guys want to talk about the next trailer?
Yeah. Sure.
That's what
Perfect
I'm here
segue.
For.
Solid yeah. segue.
The Great.
Yeah.
Starring Nicholas Hoult.
Elle Fanning.
And Elle Fanning. And it's like The Favorite, but again...
It's the writer of The Favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it looks
What
fun,
do you guys think?
Like, cute. I don't know.
It looks funny, yeah. It looks funny. It's a Hulu series.
Yes. It does look fun. I don't know why, though. I've had it up to here, and you guys can't see, but my hand's up high.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, this old-timey comedy thing. And there's only been, like, two of these.
Right. The only other one I can think of is The Favorite.
Yeah, and I'm already done. I get it. It's they're old-timey. It sort of reflects the rich people of today.
You get to see...
I don't know. I thought this looked really funny, and I liked...
No, I'm not. It does look really funny.
Like, Nicholas Hoult is fucking great in this trailer.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is.
Oh, he's fucking fantastic. I'm not knocking this trailer. It is good. And I'll probably watch some of this, but I'm hoping to not see like 10 more of these.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's Russia?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about Catherine the Great.
Okay.
It's a fictionalized version. This is not historically accurate. Like they kind of stress that in the trailer. Like it's based on historical facts, sort of. So it's a fictionalized account of how Catherine the Great became like the I think she's the longest ruling person in Russia's history. I think
and she
that's
did
accurate.
It by apparently murdering Nicholas Hoult.
Yes,
that's what
I don't
the,
know history.
Yeah. I don't know much about Catherine the Great, but that's what the. I mean, that comes up.
Yeah, that comes up in the trailer.
Yeah.
They're both terrific in this. The parachuting dog really got me.
Yeah, that was good.
Because he says, like, I present science.
And this is
and
science.
You don't know
he just
why
throws
he's doing...
a dog off his balcony.
And you think, like, did he just kill the fucking dog? And because, like, the science, you don't... The context of that, maybe there's more context in the episode, but it's like you don't know what any of these colors and words and shapes are doing at that moment. And then the dog starts perishing, and you're like, oh, science. And it's, it got
me. Yeah, the only
good.
Thing that they've established about his character up to that point is that he's a dipshit. So it's,
yeah. It's just Michael from The Office, but with like a wig.
Oh, shit. Okay. I just looked it up on Wikipedia real quick. She has him arrested and forces him to sign a document of abdication.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, like historically that's what happened?
That's a way to do it.
And then he gets fucking killed. So like he only rules for 6 months and then like she's had fucking enough.
Oh my god.
That's pretty good.
What's the president which president's the one that was like the shortest term that died
William
like because
Henry
of his
Harrison, he died in 30 days.
He had pneumonia.
I want a bio of him. Because didn't he, like, refuse to wear a jacket?
Yes.
That's what I heard
that's,
during his,
that's
like,
the,
speech.
It's possibly apocryphal. We need Daniel apocryphal. On here for this. But supposedly he gave his inauguration standing out in the cold rain, and that gave him pneumonia, but he probably already had pneumonia.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I want a bio of that. I like the idea of doing bios of like people who had a real fast run of it.
Yeah.
And that's what this sounds like.
Just burned out like a matchbook.
Yeah. Yeah, I no, this is on Hulu. This is actually something we could all use too. I don't know. It does feel very fun.
Yeah, it looks fun. It looks funny. Yeah. I'm fine with it.
Time.
Cool. Speaking of things that rhyme with fun, you guys.
Yeah.
You like this? Mm. You like it? The next trailer is called Run.
Run.
Not the run. There's two runs coming. There's the run with the parent, right? Remember that one, Tom?
No.
Isn't it called Run? The one where the girl is being looked after by her mom, who is possibly evil.
Oh, that might have been an episode that I wasn't on.
Oh, with Sarah Paulson. There's two runs. There's a horror movie called Run with Sarah Paulson that's looks pretty good. And then there's this show called Run, and this seems to be about some sort of couple or ex-couple or friends who, if they text each other the word run, they meet up.
They have to meet up, yeah, that's what it seems. It's Donald Gleason and Merritt Weaver.
Merritt Weaver is her name.
Yeah,
and
she's great.
She's from Unbelievable, right?
She is from Unbelievable, yeah.
She was fucking amazing
in
that.
She's really good in it. She's also in Marriage Story. She plays Scarlett Johansson's sister.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I really like her.
Yeah, she's good.
That's enough for me to see this.
Yeah, I like them both, so.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like kind of like a hokey My Best Friend's Wedding type premise, but I like those two actors enough that I might just end up watching it anyway.
It's HBO.
Mm-hmm.
That gives it some baseline of quality, I think.
Yeah.
Christian, did you see Unbelievable?
I haven't seen Unbelievable, no.
Oh, everybody should check that out. It's not... it's going to be upsetting.
It lives up to its name. I'll let Dave explain
it's
about.
It's about sexual assault. It's about believing women. There's certain people who should. It's a very good show. So, like, for example, my dad, who's like 73, started watching it, and I was like, good. Like old dudes should watch it. Like, if you're a guy, you should probably just watch it. I don't know. It's a very good show, is my point. And she's in it, and she fucking kills it.
Yeah, she's a good actress. She was really good in Marriage Story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she was. All right. Next, are we ready for the next trailer? Are we good?
I think so, yeah.
Next trailer is Upload.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now
what's
we're
the next
in
one?
The silly Black Mirror section. Or like the not Black Mirror stuff,
because yeah, this
oh Upload,
you know,
yeah.
Upload from the makers of The Office.
Yeah,
this is also this looks okay.
Yeah,
what do you guys think?
I think this looks okay.
Yeah, I think it looks like a kind of standard broad comedy.
Yeah, it looks like I mean, it's about a guy who has a choice. He's in the ER. It's actually Robbie Amell who played the shirtless jock in The Babysitter, Dave.
Oh.
So he was great in that movie.
He's definitely got that kind of a look.
He's been critically injured, and he can make a choice whether to go to the OR to try and save his life or get his consciousness uploaded so that he's just in this digital afterlife. So he makes that choice. And it looks kind of like Defending Your Life, only updated for the 21st century.
Yes. I was thinking of... This is what's worrying. This is kind of like The Great, where I'm like, oh, no, are there going to be a bunch of these? After The Good Place... I feel like a bunch of producers who are like, oh, I want to get me a good place. Let's do a good place.
Does seem like a good place, yeah.
Sure.
This has a lot of talent behind it, and it's probably funny, but it feels like someone was like, let's do our Good Place. Let's do another one. And so it has that feeling, that look to it. Kind of the way The Office, which is this is the creators of
Office and Parks and Rec,
spawned a bunch of things that were like, let's do The Office. Let's do our Office, you know?
Right. Yeah. I would rather shoot myself in the brainstem than watch another workplace comedy.
Yes.
This, though, I like this idea. I like the idea of, because the singularity and uploading our consciousness to, live forever digitally is something that's, been talked about recently.
Yeah.
And then I like combining that with like he still has to pay for shit in the afterlife.
Yeah, that was a good little gag.
Because we're like relentlessly capitalist even after fucking death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the more pessimistic version of that Black Mirror episode.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might give this a shot. I don't know.
You kind of sold me on it with the, at least it's not a workplace comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I realized we'll probably get 20 of these. But you know what? This is the second one, and I bet it's fun.
Yeah.
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 And he was really funny in The Babysitter, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the idea of it. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. Is that just any comedy that's trying to do something creative should probably, they're worth a shot.
Yeah.
It's just that idea of when you're doing these like sci-fi premises, I feel like there needs to be a reason,
right?
Artistically,
sci-fi is at its best when it has something to say, and I don't know what this has to say.
Oh, I think there's a lot of potential for it to say several things.
Sure,
it does. Oh, yeah, I think there's definitely potential.
Yeah,
it's
for
the
sure.
worry that there isn't. I mean, that's sci-fi in general, I guess. I do think sci-fi is best when it means something, which sounds kind of like gatekeeping, because there's a lot of sci-fi out there. And the more, the better.
Well, I'm intrigued enough by the proposition of his initial choice in the beginning of the trailer. Do you want us to try and save your life, or would you like to just go ahead and say fuck it and just get your consciousness uploaded?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was really good.
Because if he dies, they can't do it.
Yeah.
Right.
I want one of these to play with the idea of questioning if it is really you.
I'm sure that'll be a part of it. It was definitely, there's a Star Trek episode called What Little Girls Are Made Of,
right,
and it's about this. It's about a robotics doctor who the reveal is that he's transferred his own consciousness into an android and has been dead for a while, and so the question, and like he's engaged to one of the characters, Nurse Chapel on the starship. And so the question is it really still him? And he insists that it is, but like he's an android.
Who knows?
And like, yeah. So
yeah, cloning tend to dig into that idea,
right,
which I like. Which it's essentially the same as cloning in my head, is uploading your consciousness to a computer, mm-hmm, like in the famous Johnny Depp movie Transcendence. It's a question of, are you the same person?
First,
is it just your memory?
The first and only film directed by Wally Pfister.
I've never seen that movie, and I don't ever plan to.
Why would you see that movie?
Yeah,
he's a brilliant cinematographer, but man, that movie looks like a turd.
I fell into a deep sleep watching that, and not the kind of sleep where you're watching a movie and it's boring.
Was it a transcendent sleep, Dave?
It was. It, I fell into the type of sleep where I got through about half of the movie, and I was like, I should go to sleep.
That was me watching. That was me watching Mute.
Yeah, where it's like, you know what? I'm just gonna go to sleep.
I fell into a deadly sleep watching Mute.
Yeah, and it's not because it's boring, but because it wasn't out of boredom. It's just like, this is a bad movie. I'm gonna go.
I would rather sleep than watch this.
I can go ahead and close my eyes and miss massive chunks of this movie, and it'll be fine.
It was so long. I think it was 5.5 hours long.
That sounds
from
about
my
right.
memory.
Yeah, no, yeah, sure.
Makes
sense. That sounds about right.
I was there the whole afternoon. Upload. Upload. Check out the trailer.
Upload,
guys.
Definitely looks like more fun than Transcendence.
Is this Hulu? I can't remember where this is coming.
This is something.
Yeah,
like
it
that.
Was. I'm okay. Pretty sure it was Hulu.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's either Hulu or Amazon.
We got our. Yeah. Yes. It feels like an Amazon, but I'm going by nothing.
Okay.
The next thing feels squarely like a Quibi because it is. Are you guys ready for this?
The Murder House Flip. Murder House Flip.
Woo.
I hate Quibi.
Quibi might even be stopped by an injunction lawsuit, but we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah. This is evil.
It is. It's about people who flip houses in people who flip murder houses.
Yeah.
And they treat it with such like my favorite murder, like gleeful indulgence and exploitation of the murders that happen there. It's like, fuck this show.
It's all the worst tropes of like home improvement shows, plus like all the sassy jokes and everything about places where murders happened.
Right. It's
some fucking ghoul was like, people like true crime and they like house flipping. It feels like a parody.
It really feels like
a RoboCop commercial parody.
Yeah.
Where it's like, look how bad society has gotten.
Well, and they're literally talking about, like, you're right. It feels like a RoboCop joke where they're like, well, I wanted a house on the beach, but the only way I could do it was to move into a house where 7 people were killed and right. buried in the backyard.
And now we
have our beach house.
It's like, if it was fictional, it would be the perfect social commentary on today, where it's like hitting the housing market, hitting reality TV, hitting our fascination with murder, our disregard for the lives of others. It's fucking sinister.
Right,
because it always, and they do it in this trailer, they always show, like, they zoom in on an image of the killer and tell you the killer's name, and it's what about all of the people he killed?
Right.
Yep. The glorification of murderers.
Yeah.
And then all in a 7-minute episode on Quibi. Watch it on your phone.
In 10 like, minutes or less.
I know, talking to Abe phrased it this way too, where he's like, you know, I don't think Quibi's works unless I can get a job with them at some point. At this point, I'm kind of like, fuck Quibi.
Yeah.
Like, don't do Quibi, guys. This show is fucking ghoulish.
Yeah.
Fuck this show.
It's just this hell reality that we're in where everything that seems like an Onion article is real now. It's just fucking the worst. Yeah.
It's bad. It's really, my God. I'm checking to make sure it's not satire.
It's not.
Okay.
It is not satire.
Okay. Because it would be great satire.
It would be.
Like, if this was a show that was written, that would be fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But it appears to be real.
Nope. It is a completely earnest documentary series.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry, not it's documentary. Reality.
Reality TV. Yep. It's the producer of CSI. If that puts it into any perspective.
Sure, if anybody has made a living off of exploiting murder, then it's the producer of CSI.
Yep, and Bones, which I believe is some sort of bone-related show that I never saw.
She's a forensic pathologist.
Yeah.
Ah, she looks at them bones.
Yeah, she looks at the bodies.
Okay. Yeah, this is a nightmare.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
All right. Anybody want to take another kick?
Absolutely
at Quibi or
not.
Murder House Flip?
Yeah, it's just bad.
I would rather swallow my cell phone than watch this.
Yeah. I want to see that too. I'd call you.
you need
your tummy rumble.
You need go no further than watch See No Evil starring Kane.
Oh,
that's true.
Yeah.
That is absolutely true.
Yeah.
Final trailer is Tales from the Loop.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is based off of a role-playing game.
Released by
pen and paper role-playing game released by Modiphius, which is a company I really like. They publish Mutant Chronicles and a bunch of other games. Dave, I actually signed up for their playtesting group, so they send me free games every now and then.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I know it was based off of art that I've seen online.
Yeah, it's a role-playing game. They Kickstarted it, I believe.
Nice.
And then after the Kickstarter was successful, Modiphius published it.
Okay, yeah. The art definitely looks better than this, but this looks... Or visually, but this still looks fucking
great.
Yeah,
it looks cool.
Right.
It's the only reason I say the art looks better is because it's art.
Right.
It's
right. Yeah, the art looks amazing. It's basically
visuals are great.
Oh yeah, it's an alternate universe 1980s. Where
they
I think a particle accelerator was invented in the 60s that lets you go to different dimensions, I think is the
nice. I heard an interview where they're like, "We're not going to be Stranger Things."
No.
Like,
that's good.
That was cool. Yeah,
that makes me happy.
I'm very excited about this.
I almost bought the role-playing game because I was like, this might be fun for us to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's a collaborative game. So like, you still have a game master that runs it, but like the game master and all the players sort of like create the game as they play.
Oh.
Okay.
It's a pretty cool idea.
The creator is also the producer and wrote Legion, which I've heard good things about.
The FX series?
Yeah.
I assume so. The TV series, yeah.
Okay. Well, I was trying to clarify.
Oh, yeah, isn't there a Legion movie?
There's a Paul Bettany movie.
Yeah, we watched that. No, not that. The FX series Legion. Yeah, this is pretty exciting. I think this is going to be out fairly soon, right?
Yes. This is the Amazon show.
Okay.
Oh, okay. And,
this is, I mean, for people staying at home, this feels like this is going to be the thing for me personally. I've been watching Devs, and I think I'll pivot when Devs is over to this.
I need to start Devs.
Yeah, Devs is great.
Of course it is. It's Alex Garland.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking terrific. It's on Hulu right now. Everybody watch Devs.
But yeah, this looks good. I'm excited to watch this.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Definitely got my attention.
And it's so... Yeah, like, it's so... Like, how many role-playing games, like, pen and paper role-playing games get turned into a TV series within, like, 2 years of being released? Like,
it's true. Does need Jeremy Irons, you're right.
Needs Jeremy... Well, they have Jonathan Pryce.
Okay.
That's a good get.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, man, I'm pretty fucking pumped about this. I knew it was based off of art. Didn't know it was based off a role-playing game.
Sure is,
and that's fucking terrific.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Oh, man. Tales from the Loop.
Yeah. I'm into this.
Yeah, that's it for trailers.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the stories.
Let's talk about some news stories. But first, we got some more producers to call out. The first one being Davey Francis. Thank you, Davey.
Thank you.
Also thank you to Chancy Pants.
Thanks, Chancy Pants.
Space McNulty. Thank you, Space McNulty.
Yeah.
You're
great.
Thanks to Captain Fat Strong.
Yeah.
Thank you to Hiram. Thank you to Oh Great, It's That Guy.
Thank you, Guy.
Thank you to Lef.
Lef,
longtime supporter.
Yeah.
Thank you to Bob Grenville, another longtime supporter. Thank you, Bob Grenville.
Bob Grenville.
Mm-hmm. Christian, you want to take the last couple?
Yes, sir. Thank you to Bart Fartigan.
Bart.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
Nolan Matten, thank you.
Nope. Nolan.
Thank you, Nolan. Yep. Nolan's an MVP as well.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And thank you to Joshua Graves.
Joshua Graves.
Yeah. And Andrew McGuire, thank you. Andy Mack.
And Andrew McGuire. These are some high rollers.
Yeah,
thank you, guys. You guys are great.
Yeah,
thank you.
Another longtime supporter. All right, let's move into the stories.
Yeah, starting with the fact that this came out today. The Last of Us 2 is delayed indefinitely.
Yep.
That is not bad news. I mean, it's bad news, but when you look into it, they said the game's pretty much done indefinitely. I honestly think more places should say, like, Top Gun should have said indefinitely instead of December.
They can't, because they basically can't do that for their shareholders.
I know. But what they're saying is basically when this craziness is over. Mm-hmm. And I'd rather that than, like, trying to put a timeline on it, because we don't know.
Right, we have no idea.
Yeah. Also, I've heard this from a friend of mine who works in a hospital. One of the possibilities about coronavirus is they still don't know if it will be seasonal.
Right.
And it might come and go.
Yes.
And probably we'll be more used to it. But moving Top Gun to December, it might be a problem
again.
Exactly.
Right, it might come back.
It might hit again then.
Yeah, that's what I mean by, like, I'd rather, I know, I get what you're saying, Tom. I'd rather them all just say, hey, look, when this is over, we don't know. Right.
Oh, they'll I mean, if that's, they'll push it again, if that's the case.
What do you guys What do you guys think about this? Because it's a video game that we could be playing right now.
Well, it's been delayed twice already.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know what I mean, where it's like, this doesn't, we don't need to go to a theater.
That's true, but I think this video game, I think they were going to take their time with it no matter what, because Last of Us is so much about, like, the story specifically. It's not like a big gameplay game. It's not Call of Duty or Battlefield or any one of those. It's specifically about the story. So if they're not able to get it out, we shouldn't rush them. Like, we shouldn't.
That's true.
Right. This.
Oh, I'm wondering.
It's always been a game I'm comfortable waiting for. Right.
Yes. Same here. My question is, are they delaying it because of coronavirus?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm an idiot. It all just clicked in my head.
Yeah.
Is that they're delaying because of their staff and coronavirus,
what they said was they're delaying it because they can't do the release the way they want it to. Like, they can't do a global release.
Right.
Right.
They want to give it, you know,
they want to have events and they want to want people to
right. Yeah, it's a game that's been in the works for almost a decade now.
it does make sense, because it's like, you know, like, it's again, it's why certain movies are comfortable coming out on streaming while others are like, no, we'll wait, because they know, like, we're a theater event,
right?
And The Last of Us is an event,
right?
And so I get it. They can't put it out online.
Right. And they need to, much like the theatrical movies, like, for instance, The Lovebirds, the movie with Camille Nanjiani and Issa Rae, is being released on Netflix. And that's like a mid-budget movie.
Right.
So they could potentially, possibly, you know, break even or make some money on that. But like a $200 million movie like Wonder Woman 1984 is not going to come to streaming because there's no fucking way they could make that money back by going to streaming.
No.
And it's the same thing with The Last of Us 2. That's a $100 million plus game. Mm-hmm. They need to be able to release globally to make that money
and
back.
And hard copies.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that checks out.
Plus, all the GameStops are closed, so everybody who pre-ordered a physical copy can't fucking pick it up.
Yep. And all the GameStops are staying closed. Did you see
Thankfully.
That? Yeah, I'm not into GameStop.
No.
They said like a 200 of their stores won't open again, which honestly should have happened a long time ago. I remember in my hometown, I could go to the GameStop at the mall or the GameStop across from the mall. And it was like, this feels like a bad business
model.
Yeah,
there was too many of them.
It's because they bought like Babbage's and Electronics Boutique.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they just sort of like converted all of those stores into GameStops. And it's like, we don't need this many.
They got that real Radio Shack energy. Where it's like, I don't know if you're going to be around in 10 years. You're everywhere, and I don't know if we're going to need you soon. Yeah.
You're everywhere and nowhere.
Yeah. I don't know. You're right, Tom, is that I can wait 5 years for this game.
Yeah.
I don't want to, but, you know, it's the first one was so terrific.
Right, the first one, like, and also the first one's so self-contained.
Yeah,
that I'm not like, there. It wasn't a cliffhanger.
Right.
Right.
It was I can wait for this game.
Did any of you guys play the online multiplayer for The Last of Us?
No.
I did not.
it
Why on earth would I do that?
Exactly. Exactly. I watched someone play it, and I was like, why did they do this? Because it's just
because every AAA game at that time, every AAA game had to have a multiplayer mode.
Yeah. It was just very funny because Joel moves like a human. He's not, you don't want to be Joel. You know what I mean?
He's not Master
Chief. It's not a power fantasy. And so it's the multiplayer was like a third person, death match with just a bunch of people moving like slugs and like not having much ammo. And it's just like, I don't know. This seems like I only watched a little of it, but it was like, this doesn't seem like fun.
Yeah.
It's a funny idea, but Last of Us is not for that.
Any game that's like a real bummer is probably a bad multiplayer game. I'm going to put that out there.
Yeah.
Accurate.
Let's talk about this. We talked about the Texas drive-thru, but this...
So we can skip that.
Movie theater owners are creating a $1.5 million fund for employees in California and Nevada. I assume to supplement employees who have lost their job.
Yeah, it's not enough.
Nope.
But I think it's probably the best they can do because they haven't been generating income for like 5 weeks now.
Yeah, this is a did you see the box office this week was like $5,000?
$5,000.
It was a 100% drop from last year.
Yeah, it's not for this podcast. But like I've said it, we've all said it, is like it shouldn't be up to companies.
Nope. Right? Sure would be nice if the government did something about it.
Yeah. It should be the government to have a safety net for people in situations like this. Like I appreciate it when companies are doing this.
Yeah.
But like they really shouldn't have to. We shouldn't have our lives this tied to corporations.
No, we pay taxes.
No, all Yeah, all of our lives are inextricably tied to our jobs, and it's fucked up and stupid.
Yeah, and we're I hope more people are realizing that that's dumb. But yeah, I mean, good on them. Which movie theaters? I just clicked on the link and I didn't see.
It was. It's a bunch of movie theaters. I can't remember what it said.
It's all of them. It's all of them. Sure. I don't know. I mean, it's funny because it's just that, movie theaters are getting hit harder than a lot of places right now. So
movie theaters, like, restaurants, I mean.
Yep. Yeah, anywhere where you have to physically be there.
Virtually, I mean, every fucking business is getting hit by
exactly.
this.
Exactly. Yeah. Everything every that has business. A storefront.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's weird because it's like the internet has slowly made those businesses less relevant. So a lot of them were slowly dying already, and this just stepped on their head.
Yeah.
Well, without spilling too many beans, the internet's getting hit pretty hard, too.
Yes, that's
because
true.
Nobody's buying ads.
Yeah.
Right, because no one has money.
Because nobody has money, because there's nothing to advertise.
Yeah,
right.
This is, it's
the fact, a weird the fact that our entire economy collapsed in less than 2 weeks... Maybe it's a signal that this isn't the right system.
Yeah. It's the... Anyway. There's like, in terms of recession worries, the good tip I read was, it's funny, but like, look to the... look to haircuts, is how they put it, is that if places like Supercuts and barbershops... which I assume aren't actually open right now.
No, absolutely not.
I don't think so.
But the point is, when the little things people aren't affording anymore, that's how we know we're in trouble.
Yeah.
And so that's what to look out for. Because we're not that close to a full blown recession here.
The military, or at least the Navy. I don't know about the rest of the military, but I assume it's probably the same. Issued like a relaxed personal grooming thing.
That's good.
Good.
Because there's not even any haircut places open on base in most places.
Right.
So it's like...
Right. Yeah, that's a job where you get touched by someone. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. But I guess my point is that it's this compounding thing where it's like, okay, the restaurants, theaters, they all had to close because of it. And then the longer this continued, they're not going to advertise. There's going to be less advertising. And so other things will close that's dependent on advertising, yep. and it'll keep snowballing. And like, hopefully, it's just, it's funny how, because the internet, what you're talking about, Tom, is also entertainment.
Yeah.
So it's surprising. It's, I guess it's not surprising how badly entertainment was hit, where it's like, and also movies. They can't shoot movies because that's a group of people crammed together in yep. a room.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like immediate and one of the first things to get hit.
Yeah.
It's just like you don't think about it until it happens and it's like, oh, of mm-hmm. course. Some better news is that AFI and Spielberg are launching a virtual movie club.
Yeah, this looks neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're starting with The Wizard of Oz, which I'm like, ah, come on, Spielberg. that's all right. Fine, Spielberg. Wizard of Oz.
He said quote about like right now we need the message of there's no place like home. I was like, what are you talking about, Spielberg?
I wanted him to be like, oh, have you seen Heavy Metal? Oh, guys, we gotta watch Heavy Metal.
Heavy
We're
Metal's
get
an AFI on the AFI list.
What's that?
I said I don't think Heavy Metal's on the AFI list.
Yeah,
probably
okay.
not.
Yeah, I mean, I get it.
Yeah,
like The Wizard of Oz is one of the most iconic films, and like it's, you know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's sentimental.
No, I'm just joking. I'm just joshing Spielberg. It's all right.
I mean, it would have been nice if he opened with fucking Jaws.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But that would have been such a, like...
Yeah, right. Like, he can't open with his own movie.
Yeah. We'll start with the greatest movie ever, Jaws, which I wouldn't argue
no
with.
No lie but, detected.
Yeah. It's a cool idea. I think it's a daily virtual gathering.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
It's a,
I assume,
like a free screenings. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's free,
like,
internet screenings.
They're what we do every Friday night.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Focus Features is doing a similar thing on their on their Facebook page. They're doing free live stream Q&As of some of their past movies. Like they're doing Moonrise Kingdom with Wes Anderson. They're doing Mallrats with Kevin Smith.
Oh,
they're
fun.
Doing Gosford Park with the writer of Gosford Park, whose name escapes me right now. And I'm
they're
sorry.
They're doing Gosford.
They're doing Gosford
oh,
Park
fuck.
with the screenwriter.
Oh, all right. I guess to that, I also say, back off our action, you guys. Back the fuck off. We were doing this before them.
Well, listen, man, we offer something that they don't, and that's us.
That's true.
Charisma. Yeah.
Charisma. Yep. Naked, vibrating charisma.
Raw sexual energy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Palpable.
Yeah.
You can feel it.
It is
dripping out of your headphones.
Yeah.
It is funny because our business model has been basically quarantine
yeah.
based before the quarantine.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's great. I'm glad other people are doing it.
Yeah.
Will Spielberg be on watching? Will we watch it with Spielberg?
Probably not. But yeah, he might do little introductions for each one. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what does he got to do? What does he have to do right now?
I don't know.
I don't know.
He can watch movies.
Chill
with
on
us.
His ranch. I don't know what he does.
Yeah.
Write some
if
stuff.
If Spielberg's listening, he could also come to one of our Fridays if he wants.
Yeah, if Spielberg wants to come into a patron Friday, we'd love to have him.
Yeah, come on, Steve.
Yeah.
Come on, Steve. Watch Jaws with me, Steve.
Yeah, do it.
I've purchased like 15 copies of that movie in my life.
What a nightmare. Like the idea of being Spielberg and watching Jaws.
Oh yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, that's why he doesn't do commentary.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, he's like, nah, I'm good.
That was like Mac. I think Mac pointed. I think he said it in an interview of like watching Home Alone, where he's like, no, I'm not going to watch Home Alone. I'll watch it with like someone I'm dating or something
right.
like that.
Right.
But
yeah,
like,
he watched it with his girlfriend. I think like last
yeah,
year.
Yeah, and
he
like,
did. He did do the commentary on the special edition Blu-ray.
Oh,
he
cool.
and Chris Columbus did the commentary. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. One more news story
yeah.
here. Well, before we get to the other stuff, is Amazon is teaming with South by Southwest, and we might actually get a virtual film festival.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah, no, people were, after South by Southwest got canceled, some people were calling for that on Twitter because it's a very important festival,
right?
You know, for independent filmmakers, and like that, it's absolutely devastating to a lot of independent filmmakers to have that be canceled.
This is huge.
Yeah.
This is because it is true is that these are the people hurt most by all this is like, They poured money into these films.
Well,
and then South by Southwest is like, this is it. This is the pageant. And then that's canceled.
These are the people in entertainment hurt most by this.
Yes.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah, let's be clear.
Yes. Of course.
But yeah.
This whole thing is framed around,
Right, yeah, obviously.
I don't know, movies. Yeah, it's really cool that they're actually doing this. I assume we don't get to watch the movies.
Yeah, probably not. Are they going to charge like a virtual admission thing?
Hold on. I'm seeing, The online event will be available in front of the Prime Video paywall and free to U.S. audiences. Is this like they should just do this instead of South by Southwest.
That means it's free.
Yeah, that sounds
good.
Yeah,
that also means that they get more of an audience.
Yes, but it's, Yeah.
I get why they can't do this every year because South by Southwest is its own
it's got
business.
A big money.
But like,
it's also the local thing. Like the Austin's economy depends on it usually.
Yes,
too.
Yes. I feel like someone should create a prestigious virtual film festival though, because I really like the idea of a film festival where just literally anybody can go online and watch a movie that is being played for the first time.
Yeah, I think part of it is people wanting their movie to be screened in a theater, even if it's just once.
Sure.
Yeah. For sure.
So
I also think there are versions of what I'm describing.
Right, like I think we should have both, but absolutely.
Yeah, that's, I just like the idea of, I don't know, it's cool to think, like, I'm excited to see these movies because, normally these are movies that a small group of people get to see. Mm-hmm. Then you hear about for, like, a year sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes longer.
Yeah.
And sometimes, and then it comes out
like
on streaming.
Like that movie, I forget, it's a weird title, but it's the movie Kate Micucci, where she's in people keep killing themselves in her bathtub.
Yeah, with Dan Harmon.
Yeah, with Dan Harmon's in it, yep. Taika Waititi's in it. He's the cult leader.
Yeah.
That movie premiered, I think, like 2 or 3 years ago at a film festival.
Oh.
Right. And I think it's also better for the filmmakers, certain filmmakers, if there's like some sort of, like if South by Southwest had their own like streaming channel or something worked out, where like things could graduate to streaming a lot quicker. I know that's doesn't quite work because it's distribution is a different thing.
Yeah.
It's just anything to get these movies, indie movies, more eyes on them. And streaming seems like the really great way of doing that. But I think I am just talking about distribution at this point.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, they have to get picked up by somewhere first that will make money from it.
Mm-hmm. It is a business.
I don't know. It's cool though. I really like this.
Yeah, no, this is a cool idea because otherwise this would just be a totally dead year like those films.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool.
Yeah. Christian.
Yes. Yes, David.
It's WrestleMania time.
do you want to talk about WrestleMania?
Of course I want to talk about WrestleMania. That's all I want to talk about. Thing that I think you guys probably already saw it is this Drew McIntyre promo for WrestleMania where he's training in the Scottish Highlands.
Yep, just lifting beer barrels and fighting groups of kilted men.
Yep.
Nice.
Wearing his
screaming Brock Lesnar's name on a mountain.
This is exactly what I want WrestleMania to be this year because we know it's not going to be in a big stadium. We know that that's impossible now. Apparently, what it's going to be is that they recorded most of it at WWE's Performance Center, which is where they've been doing like Raw and SmackDown and stuff with no audience.
Right.
It's going to be so bizarre. It's going to be like
very
fucking
weird.
It's going to be like minimalist Shakespeare.
It's so good.
And on top of that, we are also going to get two matches that I know of, that I for sure know of right now, that are going to be, I guess, more cinematic than the other ones. We're going to have The Undertaker versus AJ Styles in a Boneyard match, which is going to be a buried alive match in a graveyard. So
okay,
yes,
that's awesome.
Okay, I was literally just about to suggest, since there's no audience, can't they do yes. stuff like that? Can't there be a wrestling match on the top of a waterfall? This is great news, because yeah, they have the power to do it. Yeah. They could edit yeah. it, like yeah. they could film it like a movie.
Yes.
And edit
and
it.
Like we've been getting little glimpses of that, because lately, for the last like SmackDown, it seemed like they were experimenting with doing different shots, because they showed Baron Corbin threw Elias off of a platform, and like they did a cutting thing where like you could see it from the downward angle, and then he falls and he's just laying there on the concrete looking like he's knocked out. Like they've experimented with the format a little bit, because I think what do they have to lose? Like,
right? They kind of have to too, because so much of wrestling depends on the crowd's right. energy. So it's like, well, if you don't have that, what do you do?
So now they're doing this, and
have they considered doing backyard wrestling?
Kind of what they're doing.
Kind of, a little bit.
I was gonna say, instead of an audience, they should get like three teenage boys to just go, "Oh shit!" when something happens.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for this upcoming WrestleMania, they're also gonna have a last man standing match between Edge and Randy Orton. So I don't know. They can literally just go anywhere with that. They can just give them a ref, and they can go wherever they want to have a last man standing match, which I kind of hope that they do. They have this empty arena. Why not use it?
I mean, what I'm thinking of is the halftime show that they did
with Mankind and The Rock.
Where The Rock fought Mankind and he just dragged him all through the stadium, and they didn't have any commentary, but it was just The Rock talking an endless stream of shit, and it was incredible.
And that is one of the best parts of these like empty arena matches, is the fact that you can hear them yelling, talking shit at each other. And like,
yep.
I think that's one of the better things about this new format that they kind of have to deal with. And they are definitely also going to have I don't know what they're going to call it, but you know how The Fiend and Bray Wyatt have Firefly Funhouse now? He's going to be wrestling John Cena. So what I've heard is that they did a bunch of cinematic stuff with them, and like they're maybe going to involve the puppets. They're going to do all sorts of weird shit, and like there's going to be
that'll be fucking amazing. Do that. Holy shit.
Yeah, there's going to be a new version of The Fiend, beautiful. Maybe. Yeah, it's set up to be really weird and fun.
Right, cuz they could do anything. Yep. Like it's not live. Right. You can do anything.
Yeah, they've already pre-taped it.
Or rather, it doesn't have to be live. It doesn't have to be live.
Right. It's been pre-taped, so
they
we
could
don't
just
know
do,
exactly what
they
it's
could just
be.
Do play out. Yeah, they could just do full dramatic scenes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like with editing, and they could get guest directors in there.
They've had.
They could get Wes Anderson to do a match.
It's just completely symmetrical.
Yeah. The rules have changed.
People very somberly body slamming each other to Bob Dylan.
Bill Murray makes an appearance.
Yeah, they've also had Asuka doing guest commentary, which has been amazing.
Wait, who?
Asuka.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
Oh, this is exciting.
Yeah. So. Oh man.
All right. Should we?
Dave, David.
Oh wait, no, we have some names.
Oh, we do. Oh shit. Okay, what's going on? What are we at?
We have more Patreon.
Okay.
Patreon
all producers. Right.
Starting with Ozzy.
Ozzy.
Tom quasi dangerous levels of hype K.
Yeah, we need to up.
Thank
those.
You, Tom.
Yeah,
the other Tom, not you, Tom.
Of course,
other Tom. AJ,
thank you, AJ.
Thank you, AJ. Tip Drizzle. TD.
Then we have Frank Lee Amish. Thank you. Mrs. Voidus. The ghost of Dave Thomas. Aaron Burser. Another MVP.
Thank you, Mr. Burr. David Knife Boot Henson. MBA. CPA. Mba Spa. That's what those spell. Robert. I fucked it up. Christopher Robert Sparks,
you
Esquire.
Son of a bitch.
Thank you.
How dare you fuck up Topher Bobby's name?
Sorry, Topher. Mackenzie, righteous hand of the lizard people. Chill. Thank you.
Funky J. Thank you. And finally, Pie Guy.
Pie Guy. Thank you so much, you guys. Yeah.
Dave.
What is it, Tom?
Dave. Dave.
What? What? What?
David.
What?
In these dark times.
This is going to be the lighthouse scene.
In these dark times.
Yes.
Do you have a movie that deserves more hype?
I do.
Oh, yeah. Good. I thought that you might.
More hype.
This is called La Llorona.
Yep.
La Llorona.
There we go. I want to quickly address that.
Oh, did we fuck up the pronunciation when we did the last one? Oh, I always the two L's.
Christian tagged us.
That's funny. Oh, that's funny.
I'm glad that he's here for this one.
Yeah,
me too.
Because we
that's like Pico de Gallo.
Man, we fucked that shit up so bad.
What did we do? Did we do
La Llorona or something?
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know. We fucked it up bad.
Double L's are tough at the beat. Okay,
you tried.
This is not that movie.
No,
it is not The Curse of La
Llorona. This is a different movie, not to be confused with the bad one. This went to Sundance and was bought by Shudder.
Cool.
So we should probably expect it pretty soon.
Yeah.
It was bought up in 2019, end of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
You guys watched this trailer?
I did. Yeah.
Yes.
What are your thoughts here?
I really like the direction that they're going with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, same. It's not the monster movie that The Curse of La Llorona was.
Right.
Like, this is a much more thoughtful sort of modern application, I guess.
Yep.
Of what this legend is.
Yes. It takes place in Guatemala. And it's based off a real genocide.
Yes,
cool.
This is the genocide in the early 80s that my family actually came to the United States because they were leaving because of that. Yeah.
No shit.
Yes.
Wow.
Maybe you should speak more about this.
Yeah, I was going to say, shit.
I can tell you more about the legend. And, like, this isn't about a specific, like, real person.
No, it's a fake general.
Yeah. Okay, so, like we said... this isn't about a real person. It is about a real event. The genocide in the early 80s of Native people in Guatemala is like, it's very similar to what was going on with the Native Americans in the United States earlier than that. It was like a focused like scapegoating of these people. They were being murdered. Like they were an easy target, I guess, according to the government. Yeah.
It was indigenous Mayans, right?
Yes. Yes. It was the native Guatemalan people who, yes, have considered themselves Mayans for a long time.
Right.
Yeah. And it goes along with the actual story of La Llorona, which is actually dates back to like pre-Columbian stuff. Cause they had some goddesses in like the Aztec and the Mayan pantheon that they think the imagery of a woman like all in white could have been based on. But the story is that this spirit comes from a woman who fell in love with somebody of a higher status than her, or of a different status than her. She gets pregnant, has two kids from them, and then this person, which sometimes is a Spaniard person, sometimes is just a white person or a rich person, they leave, and then the woman is heartbroken and she has no way to provide for the kids. So she goes, like, she loses her mind, and then she ends up killing them by drowning them. And so it's a really dark, like, it's got a lot of a lot to do with the treatment of Native people and, like, the, I guess, the dynamic between Native people and Europeans. And I think this trailer taps into that in a really, like, great, awesome, real way.
Yeah. Damn, I'm glad you're here for this one. I did not plan this.
Yeah, no, awesome.
I would have just said, "Oh, this is a cool looking movie."
Yeah, looks real good. Looks real good.
It does. Yeah, because really
it's about a general who committed atrocities, getting essentially haunted.
Yes.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. He has a housekeeper that shows up, and he can't tell if she's a spirit.
And they hint that she's La Llorona because it's like, well, she has two kids. So where are they? Well.
Yeah.
Right. And she likes pools. She's obsessed with water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It looks so much better than that other thing.
And that fucking goblin-ass Conjuring movie they released last year.
Yeah. If people Google this, Google Sundance.
Right.
That's the key. Is because it'll get mixed up with the other one. So that's what you got to do. Because it's... I'm scared that people are gonna see this on Shudder,
right?
And think it's a knockoff.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, or think it's a knockoff where it's like, like where they make the horror movies that look exactly like the other horror movies.
Yep.
This is the real thing,
right?
As far as I can tell,
this is like a thoughtful, purposeful commentary.
Yep.
Yes.
Exactly.
This director,
is done by somebody who cares about the story, not somebody who is just making a monster movie kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a legend we can turn into a monster movie. It's like, all right.
Yes, right. Exactly.
Yeah, where someone Googled it and then they were like, I got the broad strokes.
All right, fuck you.
Yeah. This director made another movie a couple years ago called Tremors. So I one note is he's really got to work
on
the
work
movie
on his
titles.
Naming.
Yeah.
Work on your titles, man.
But yeah, this, I don't know. Check out the trailer. It's a slow burn horror movie. It looks like it's about a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah.
It does. For sure.
Oh, man. All right. Well, that's a sode, everyone.
That is.
Yeah.
That's a sparkling sode.
Oh, my goodness.
That
Christian.
That is a sode.
Christian, thank you so much for guesting on our show.
Yeah,
I was
thank you.
So happy to be here. I'm glad that I got to talk about wrestling and movies and La Llorona with you guys.
Yeah, thanks for being on.
Is there anything you want to plug?
Yeah. Where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at fanboychristian with no H. And also, I guess keep your eyes peeled in the future. I've been working on a project, a D&D themed project that hopefully I'm going to be unveiling to people very soon. And we'll, I don't know, if I can set up an online game, hopefully we'll be able to beta test it. And I would want you guys to be involved as
much
as possible.
Yeah, no, I believe I know what you're talking about, and I'd love to do that, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Dave, what do we got?
Yeah, we got a Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts on there, like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Fox Mulder is a Maniac. Check it out. You know, you could leave us a review on iTunes if you want. But overall, just fucking take care of yourself.
Yeah, just
as we say on this show.
Yeah, just keep taking care of yourself. We appreciate you guys listening. We appreciate if all of you... Patreon supporters and Hypecast producers, we appreciate you so much right now, always, but especially right now. We do have a store, but I'm not going to plug it because you guys don't need to buy our fucking t-shirts right now. You guys need to buy food for you and your family. Yeah. So
please and, buy food.
Please do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just be safe and take care of each other.
Yeah. And as we say every episode, don't stop living the music.
We do say
Tom,
that.
You didn't say it with me. You didn't say it with me this time.
All right.
Living the music.
Living the music.
Yeah. Beautiful. Fucking beautiful.
All right.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can follow him on Twitter at TheCorlew, C-O-R-L-E-W, and find more music at shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Brown, and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.